Hi, this is Janice Torres from Yo Quiero Dinero. If you own or operate a business, whether it's a local operation or a global corporation, partnering with Bank of America could be your smartest move. By teaming with Bank of America, you'll enjoy exclusive digital tools, award-winning insights, and business solutions so powerful, you'll make every move matter. Position your business to capitalize on opportunity in a moment's notice. Visit bankofamerica.com/bankingforbusiness to learn more. What would you like the power to do? Bank of America N.A. Copyright 2024.
My business used to be weighed down by the complexities of in-person payments. Then, Stripe Tap to Pay on iPhone came along and changed everything. With Stripe, I streamlined my payment process effortlessly. No more juggling different methods. Just a simple tap on my iPhone and transactions are complete. What's truly remarkable is how Stripe caters to all my customers' preferences. Whether they're using cards, Apple Pay, or other digital wallets, Stripe ensures a smooth checkout experience every time. Setting up Stripe was a breeze, taking just minutes to get up and running. From local markets to global retailers, Stripe helped me expand my reach and grow my business with ease. To learn how Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe can help grow your revenue and reach, visit stripe.com/tapiphone.
Daily Tech News Show is made possible by its listeners. Thanks to all of you, including Mike Cortez, Erwin Stuhr, and Ken Hayes. Plus our new patrons, Clint and Ed. Everybody welcome Clint and Ed.
Welcome to the world.
You're the best. On this episode of DTNS, a new type of RAM can make powerful laptops thinner, get better battery, and upgradable. Plus, the U.S. tightens restrictions on Huawei, and Apple targeted artists with its new iPads. Artist Scott Johnson tells us if they succeeded with him. This is the Daily Tech News for Wednesday, May 8th, 2024 in Los Angeles. I'm Tom Merritt.
From Studio Animal House, I'm Sarah Lane.
In Salt Lake City, I'm Scott Johnson.
And I'm the show's producer, Roger Chang.
It is a lovely Wednesday. It is the day after an Apple announcement.
Annapolis.
Easy for me to say.
If you're in Annapolis and watch the Apple announcement, give yourself a high five.
Please send us an email. Feedback@dailytechnewsshow.com. Let's start with the quick hits.
Reuters sources say the U.S. Department of Justice is considering whether it will file charges of misleading investors about the self-driving capabilities of Teslas. It's also considering whether wire fraud was committed because of interstate communications to consumers about capabilities. Like any probe, it may not result in any charges.
Microsoft has closed a number of game studios under Bethesda and made some job cuts at the company as well. Microsoft will also move Roadhouse Studios into ZeniMax Online Studios and close AlphaDog Games. There will also be a game that will no longer receive updates or new downloadable content, but will remain online to play, and that is Redfall.
At Apple's iPad event on Tuesday that included a refresh line of the iPad Air and new iPad Pros, Apple didn't note that it's actually removed the ultra-wide camera from the rear camera module together on the Pro. 9to5 Mac also notes that with the performance jump of the 10-core CPU found inside the new M4 chip, highly touted by Apple, only arrives in that form on the 1 and 2 terabyte iPad Pro models, which of course are the most expensive. Lower storage iPads get an M4 chip, all the same, with a 9-core CPU, 10-core GPU, and 8 gigs of RAM rather than 16.
People have been very upset about Reddit and all the moves it made around moderators and how it was all just related to their stock IPO. So there were a lot of eyeballs on Reddit's first earnings report since it publicly issued that stock in March. And here is the bad news. Revenue is up 48% over the previous year. Ad revenue was a big driver of that, up 39%. And it reported 82.7 million daily active users, beating expectations.
Tom, I am so sorry for your loss.
I know. Yeah. So wait. These actually seem like good numbers now that I'm looking at them.
Yeah, weird.
Oh, yeah. My glasses on. No, these are good numbers. Yeah. These are really
sorry,
good
everybody.
Numbers.
Yeah.
Google DeepMind has unveiled AlphaFold 3, the newest version of the transformative machine learning model. AlphaFold first debuted back in 2018 as a model at predicting protein structure from the sequence of amino acids that make up those structures. AlphaFold 3 is a more accurate version of this and can now predict interactions with other biomolecules as a research tool. It also allows multiple molecules to be simulated at once. So a strand of DNA, some DNA binding molecules, even some ions, throw those in there. Google DeepMind is offering AlphaFold Server a free, fully hosted web app, making the model available for non-commercial use.
But, okay, we saved a bunch of months of research, sometimes years, with folding at all. Now we're saving weeks to months by saying what these folded molecules combined with. What about the grad assistants? Huh? What are they going to do now?
Wow, what's up? What's just, you're going to go party at your local
They're going to go
thing?
Party.
Exactly. U.S. Department of Commerce confirmed to the Financial Times that it has revoked a few, or the, in their words, certain export licenses for hardware that was mostly being used by Huawei. That directly affects the bottom lines of both Intel and Qualcomm, both of which have been selling these semiconductors to Huawei, and Huawei has been using them in laptops and phones. Huawei already had restrictions on buying U.S. technology. That's been in place since 2019, but it was the higher-end stuff. Some U.S. lawmakers continue to say it conducts espionage around the world, although Huawei has repeatedly denied that it does that.
As a result of the revoked licenses, Intel said in a statement Wednesday that it now expects its second quarter revenue, looking forward, to fall below the midpoint of its previously guided $12.5 billion to $13.5 billion range. Not saying it's going below that range, just saying it's going to be lower than the midpoint of that range, which tends to make the street not happy. Intel also said it continues to expect revenue and earnings per share to grow in 2024 from a year earlier. So Intel saying we're not, you know, we're still on the up and up, but this is going to give us a hit, so to speak. A lot of companies have and continue to benefit from a global market. So Scott, thoughts on this kind of trade war that we've been seeing going on between the U.S. and Huawei since 2019, really, on a large scale, affecting a lot of other companies?
Well, it's a nice reminder that none of this happens in a vacuum. When you know, you shut down trade routes, or I guess there's a better way of saying that, when you shut down trade with certain companies or in certain countries and territories, you're basically saying, and that includes any kind of subcontracting you already do with, you know, companies in our country. And then those companies have to make a bet. They have to do a little bit of wagering on how this is going to go. So I'm sure that this didn't blindside Intel. They were already kind of not doing great in general as far as growth goes. But for them, I think they are in full awareness mode when it comes to this sort of stuff, as is everybody over there. You hear about this with different services and different web providers, and you hear about it with video game companies. They all just don't quite know what's going to happen from one side or the other. One day China might ban a whole thing, and you're like, well, that's our whole business model. What do we do now? And on the other hand, a European Union or U.S. Law changes, and suddenly you're dealing with something else, and you lose a bunch of sales as a result.
Yeah, suddenly your app with 170 million users is going to be banned in a year.
Yeah, right. We're just talking about that. That's maybe the biggest, most notable example these days. But it's interesting to think, though, there's a lot of trickle down aspect to this. So, you know, Intel is obviously not the company being targeted here, but they are providing chips and hardware to said company. So what do they do now? Well, hopefully they have a backup plan.
Well, I think that there's a range, the 12.5 to 13.5 billion, and they're now saying we're going to hit the midpoint, means they factored this in. They didn't give an exact number. They gave a range because the range accounted for, it's possible that these licenses to sell to China, which are mostly going to Huawei, go away. And if they do, then it's going to be at the bottom end of that range. And the licenses are going away. So Intel's like, yeah, guess what? Don't be surprised. Don't be shocked. It's going to the bottom of that range. it's not as bad for Qualcomm as it is for Intel, simply because Intel is already in a shakier spot. They have other issues going on. If you have a robust business that's doing well, which Qualcomm basically does, this isn't great, but it's not going to shake you as much as if you're Intel.
It's a headache more than...
Yes, exactly.
Something that's
exactly
affecting your bottom line.
Whereas Intel is scrambling, and it's like, okay, here's another thing we're going to do. But, you know, to give the wider picture here, if you're wondering about, like, well, wait a minute, why is the U.S. hurting its own companies? It's not doing it to hurt its own companies. It is trying to slow down China's advance with artificial intelligence. That is the big scare that the United States have, is that that China will get ahead with large language models and other tools like it. And they're doing everything, all of this, banning TikTok, restricting chips. It's all meant to slow down China's progress towards AI, in my opinion. A lot of people also share that opinion. And so what they're doing here is saying Huawei was starting to bounce back. Huawei was starting to make money. Huawei also is one of the companies that could advance China's interests in artificial intelligence research. We are no longer going to allow these licenses. We allowed them because we knew it would hurt Intel and Qualcomm and others to disallow them. But at this point, it looks like the U.S. has made the choice of, we'd rather hurt Intel and Qualcomm a little bit in order to hurt Huawei enough that we can slow down the amount of resources they have to develop artificial intelligence.
Yeah, I think that's true. And also, you know, everybody in that supply chain is motivated to sell things and make money. And when these kind of channels go away, my guess is it'll get filled with something else. But also, it seems like if Huawei needs chips, they're going to find chips. Like, this idea that, you know, shutting down certain manufacturers of chips is going to stop them from getting what they need seems a little crazy.
It'll slow them down, just, though, right?
And it'll slow them down.
And it'll make it more costly. So that's the idea, right?
Yeah, but I don't know if it actually... Like, how much of a slowdown is it to AI development? That's negligible to me.
Again, you're just throwing... It's like throwing logs, you know? They'll drive over the logs, but they won't be able to go as fast.
That's a good point. Yeah.
That's a metaphor everyone can identify with.
Yep.
I mean, I drove over some logs over the weekend, you know? And it did slow me down.
There you go. Yeah. Let's talk about some PC parts that are positive for everybody. Micron is shipping some upgradable memory modules called LPCAM2. They cost around $330, and you can find them inside the new Lenovo ThinkPad P1 Gen 7. Now, what's exciting about these, besides their catchy name, they are less than half the size of upgradable DIMMs, the SO-DIMMs that you use to upgrade RAM right now, and they have more power. Right now, if you want power efficiency, you want LPDDR memory. You need to solder that memory to the motherboard because of low voltage. You will have signal loss if you don't do that. So if you want the best power-efficient memory, you don't have upgradability. LPCAM2 sockets are near the CPU. There are some other interface designs that mean you can still get the low voltage power efficiency and use LPDDR5X, but also be upgradable. So the big advantage of LPCAM2 is I don't have to have it soldered to my motherboard, so I can have power efficient, good RAM and replace it. That means I don't have to buy all the RAM I think I'll ever need when I buy the machine. I can buy what I can afford and know I can upgrade it later. Dell developed this as a standard. Samsung and ADTA are among folks backing it. So even though we only have Lenovo and Micron shipping products right now, it looks possible that this could become more widespread. And for those who know what it matters, it also supports dual channel with one card, whereas with SODIMMs, you got to have two. So it is going to allow you to get a more powerful laptop that's thinner because it's half the size of the SODIMMs, but also upgradable.
Yeah, that's a big boon for in the gaming space. There's other applications, obviously, but in the gaming space, there's a lot of sense in this because people are looking for more portable, powerful solutions. It's not like you couldn't get a gaming laptop in the past that wasn't powerful, quote unquote. But a lot of times you sacrifice.
Yeah.
Exactly. You sacrifice that upgradability. This is a clearer path for people to have the device longer and to have a better upgrade path. So I'm personally, I think this is great. And it feels like an iteration, because it's been around for a bit, these specs and these ideas and the open source stuff Dell did. But to see it, latch on is going to be a good thing, for both gamers and I think just power users in general, people that need a bunch of power on the go, with less battery usage and, all the other benefits to this and an upgrade path in the future. Like, why wouldn't you get excited about this?
Yeah. And it's just going to further the trend of a laptop being a form factor choice rather than a spec choice. In other words, you could get the desktop or the laptop. It just depends on whether you want to carry one around or not. Percentage chances y'all think Apple ever goes to LPCAM 2 in their devices? And I think the answer is, well, they make their own silicon, so forget it. They're not going to do it. But
if it's based on a standard, an open standard, they could quote unquote fork it and do their own thing.
But they're already designing the RAM into the chip. So
yeah,
I think the chances are almost zero.
Yeah, I don't think Apple wants anything to do with this. But for everybody else, unless you're like, I love my soldering iron, we are good. This sounds like it just, gives you more choice off the bat. Makes things more portable. And yeah, if you want, a rig of a certain spec and you never were able to have that in a smaller machine before, then this is all going in the right direction.
Now, Raymond says they can, but they'll slap a premium price on it for Apple branded LPCAM 2. Not impossible. I do, though. It did make me realize, you won't see it in... Well, it's still Apple Silicon. I was like, maybe you would see it in an Apple Pro, in a Mac Pro.
Yeah. And those, the Mac Pro's shipping yet with Silicon? I can't remember if they're
not
shipping
yet.
Now. Okay. When they do, I'd be very curious.
Not much about the Pro.
Yep. Will there even be a Mac Pro? Right.
There may not be. Yeah. I've got a studio now, and that thing is making me, I'll never buy a Pro. I don't need it. This thing is so fast. So maybe they'll just focus on that. But the other thing I was going to say, from a sort of gamer's perspective, RAM isn't always the thing we think of, though, when we think of upgrades. A lot of times we're already at kind of overkill levels of RAM, maybe not notebooks so much, but in desktops for sure, where more upgradability would be nice would be things like GPUs and larger SSDs, which is usually possible. But GPUs in particular on notebooks are notoriously burned on there and you cannot replace it and or upgrade it. So I'd like to see more of this sort of thinking, but applied to those other points, those other vectors of upgrade.
Well, and there's a great backstory here of Dell developing this and then saying, you know what? This should be a standard. They could have gatekept it. And they were the first to put out an LPCAM module at all before LPCAM 2 in a desktop. But they made it a standard so that others could also put it out there. And I would assume you're going to see it in Dell laptops. You're going to see it in Samsung products. You're going to see other makers like ADTA, not just Micron. So, I think this is going to be good for the Windows machine world.
Yep. I can't wait for the benchmarks. Let's get going with it.
All right. That one was one that I know folks saw on our subreddit and were like talking about. What else would you like to hear us talk about on the show? Let us know at dailytechnewsshow.reddit.com.
It's that time of the year. Your vacation is coming up. You can already hear the beach waves, feel the warm breeze, relax, and think about work. You really, really want it all to work out while you're away. Monday.com gives you and the team that peace of mind. When all work is on one platform and everyone's in sync, things just flow. Wherever you are, tap the banner to go to Monday.com.
The Claude 3 model family from Anthropic is your one-stop shop for enterprise AI. With models at every point on the price-performance curve, you no longer have to make trade-offs between intelligence, speed, and cost. Claude 3 Opus sets new industry benchmarks for intelligence. Sonnet strikes the perfect balance between skills and speed. And Haiku is the fastest and lowest cost model in the market, perfectly designed for high volume, high speed use cases. Join the thousands of enterprises who trust Anthropic to keep them at the frontier. Visit anthropic.com/Claude today.
My business used to be weighed down by the complexities of in-person payments. Then, Stripe Tap to Pay on iPhone came along and changed everything. With Stripe, I streamline my payment process effortlessly. No more juggling different methods. Just a simple tap on my iPhone and transactions are complete. What's truly remarkable is how Stripe caters to all my customers' preferences. Whether they're using cards, Apple Pay, or other digital wallets, Stripe ensures a smooth checkout experience every time. Setting up Stripe was a breeze, taking just minutes to get up and running. From local markets to global retailers, Stripe helped me expand my reach and grow my business with ease. To learn how Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe can help grow your revenue and reach, visit stripe.com/tapiphone.
So yesterday with Snob OS podcast, Terrence Gaines and Nika Monford, we talked at length about Apple's big iPad announcement, the good, the bad, what we were excited about, what we were scratching our heads about, and everything in between. It included, on the hardware side, and it was mostly a hardware announcement, new iPad Airs, new iPad Pros, the M4 chip, a new Apple Pencil Pro, a new Magic Keyboard. And on the software side, some nifty additions to Final Cut Pro, Logic Pro 2, multi-cam support getting its own app. Now, Scott, I know as a working artist who already loves the Apple Pencil, you have touted your love for the Pencil and also uses Apple products as creation devices. What stood out to you from Apple's announcements yesterday? Because it did seem very creator focused.
Yeah, I think so, too. And I took heart in that because, you know, one of the things a lot of us who have converted to iPad Pro and Pencil and other app combinations for digital illustration over previous methods, part of the reason we did that is because it seemed like Apple was really leaning into supporting that kind of user. And this is, in my opinion, yesterday was great news on that front. I think this is them saying, yep, we know we got a ton of artists using this thing and maybe even more than we thought they were gonna. So some of these features are specific to them and some of these improvements are very specifically improvements for those folks. So I saw the overall thing to be pretty positive from that perspective. If you're somebody who is just like, well, I just need a tablet to browse while I'm watching TV, these pros are not for you. You don't need them. Although much more affordable iPads in the iPad lineup are in there. They have 2.0 pencil use cases. They're as powerful now as my current Pro is. So you could do a lot of damage in the art world with just even one of those. But for pro users, making them thinner, giving us a lot more color depth to work with when you're talking OLED screens. That means we're going to have more color accuracy. We're going to be able to apply color profiles, do our color separations in a way that we can eyeball more than having to test it in other ways. It's not that it was bad before. The screens currently are really nice. This is a step forward in that regard. A lot of people are kind of not moaning, but talking the usual talk about how, well, it's kind of expensive and prohibitive for people to get into it. The 13-inch, for example, of the Pro starting at $1,299 and the new Pencil Pro starting at $129. I guess it starts and stops at $129. There's no upgrades.
Yeah, it's $129.
there are some things you can do with the iPad. But anyway, it is expensive. It's about $200 more than the previous model was at those, you know, at the higher spec or at that entry spec. And you might look at it and go, well, geez, what are they trying to do? Price me out. But if you are a working digital artist and you are in this ecosystem, and by that, I just mean, you know, you're using Procreate or you're using various other, you know, apps on it and you're producing your work there, then this is actually really inexpensive still. A solution from Wacom or any other quality digital tablet maker, you're somewhere in the range of, you know, $3,000-$4,000 for those devices, for the ones you're going to want anyway. That is not to say that there aren't plenty of less expensive items, including, you know, stuff in the iPad lineup for people who just don't need the top end cutting edge. Now, I love my iPad Pro. I've loved it for really since the first model, and I'm getting one of these new ones. I've skipped a couple of upgrades because they were very incremental. This is a big one, in my opinion. And so in a week and a half or so, I'll have the iPad and the Pencil, and I'll be able to talk more about it on this show. To give just a couple of other notes about this, you can say all the, like, Tim Cook can talk all day about how great the Pencil improvements are, squeeze it to get a menu, haptic feedback.
I thought that looked cool, at least in the demo.
It does. It does look cool. There's no doubt about it. And I think I'm going to be able to use that in some context. But what people really, really want out of iterating this pencil is lower and lower latency, and it's already kind of top in class, best latency in class, and they're claiming even less latency now. That's a big deal. People really want to hear that. But the other big selling point is a thing that the pencil, you need the pencil for to take advantage of. I guess if you just want no glare, it's good for you too. But this nano texture screen that you can upgrade to when you buy the thing.
Yeah, it's an option.
It's an option.
You have to pay for it.
It does two things. One, eliminates a ton of glare. And if you're looking at it from different angles and stuff, that's one thing. But the thing I'm caring the most about is it's going to replicate the feel and texture of something more akin to paper or illustration board. That's a big deal for me. Now, when I get it, it may be less impressive, or maybe it'll be smoother than I think.
And not for touch with your finger, but for the pencil, right?
For the pencil specifically. Is what
excites you.
Something that feels more like not glass, but something that's, you know, it has that crunchy paper feel.
Yeah, because right now you're using a plastic-tipped pen, you know, really well-made, sturdy one, but you're using that against glass, and a lot of people buy these layers. You can get a stick-on layer that essentially does the same thing, gives a little bit of texture, and it means you just have more drag. The problem with those is you sometimes wear the nibs down faster because there's a lot more friction going on. It sounds like they've thought of that here. I don't know how much friction it's going to provide. These are all questions we're going to have to mess with it to answer, but that all, again, leads me down the path of Apple cares about artists. There's money in that banana stand. They sell a lot of devices to a lot of artists, and I think they know it. And it also, that just fits with Apple's whole vibe, man. They're here supporting the artist, man. You know, like, it's just a big hippie love-in with that stuff. And I'm happy about it. Now, how apps, big popular apps like Procreate and what's it called, Studio, or even the Creative Labs or the Creative Cloud apps from Adobe, how these will benefit from all of this, it's hard to say. I'm sure they'll implement features. Certainly, it's more powerful, can handle more layers, like all that stuff I expect to see be really cool. And like I said, when I get mine, one of the first things I'm going to do is come on here and tell you if I was right or wrong. Because
it was interesting to see Procreate included in the announcement. Mm-hmm. I think it was the only third-party voice we heard from in this particular one.
Yeah, and it makes sense. They have become the thing. They are it on that platform, and they are beloved by the artists who use it. They are
editing, right? Procreate?
Correct. Procreate is all about drawing and illustration and painting and inks and pencils, and like, it is an artist tool top to bottom. If you're going to use Photoshop, great, you could use it for that stuff, but that's also for, you know, photo retouching and regular Photoshop stuff. This thing is for artists, and everybody I know and their dog is using this thing. And it's still very inexpensive. I think it's $19 is all. You never pay a subscription. You just get it. Works flawlessly. Everything I make is on that thing. So I'm really excited to see how this goes. And I may eat a little crow at the end and go, it's all right. It's not that big. It's not worth $1,300 plus. You know, I don't know. But at this stage, I'm actually pretty stoked about it.
Well, this is exciting.
Yeah.
And we have a different kind of artist weighing in on the iPad in the mailbag.
Indeed. Ryan wrote in saying, regarding the weight difference on the iPad Pro, I can say confidently that in daily use, the weight matters. We were talking about this yesterday, like, was it really that, you know, heavy before? Ryan says, as a DJ who works in more production heavy private events, I'm always making sure there's backups to things. My backpack on event days has two laptops, an iPad Pro, plus an assortment of small tools, adapters, accessories. Every pound that can get shaved off of device weight makes it that much easier to lug around. I have to say, says Ryan, I wasn't in the market for a faster, more powerful, lighter, etc. iPad Pro at the moment. My 12.9-inch original M1 iPad Pro is still serving my needs quite well. However, what won me over was that anti-glare design of the new screen. I find myself working outside nearly every weekend for wedding ceremonies, trying to read notes and remote control audio devices. Using an iPad on a sunny day is a challenge. I may have to pick up one of the new ones to see how much improvement there is working outdoors.
There you go. Artistry of all types.
There you go. Yeah.
Awesome. And then we also got an email from Andy who says, as a South African living in Australia, I was interested to hear about Amazon finally launching in South Africa. Thanks for always keeping me informed. You're welcome, Andy. Regarding the lack of Amazon Prime, when Amazon launched in Australia in 2018, they were also missing a Prime offering. That only arrived about 9 months later. I guess that's the expected gestation period. To this day, Prime in Australia is still missing many of the benefits that the USA gets. So I'd expect a slow rollout in South Africa too. While there are competing services in South Africa, none of them are of Amazon's quality. The launch of Amazon will hopefully mean those competitors will have to up their game. This very much happened in Australia. Online retail here was pretty dire before Amazon launched, but the competition has definitely delivered improvements.
Oh, Andy, thank you so much for giving us a you know, on the ground in two different continents.
Yeah, right.
No less.
Yeah, yeah. Two continents for one. Thanks, Andy.
Yeah, very, very cool. Thanks to everybody who sends in your feedback and helps keep us learning every day. Feedback at dailytechnewsshow.com is where to send those emails. Thanks to you, Scott Johnson, for being with us. What would you like to tell folks where to go when they don't see you here?
Well, this week you're going to want to tune into Core, the video game podcast we do on Thursdays, if you're interested in that world at all. Big stuff this week. In fact, we're coming off a couple of weeks of like big high level controversy and scandal. We try to kind of avoid the scandal part, but this week's is worth talking about. You heard it in the quick hits. There's a big thing with Microsoft. They just laid off a ton more people and closed some studios that they swore were being really successful not that long ago. So everybody's kind of open arms. We're going to break it down for you on Thursday night. That's frogpants.com/core. Or find Core wherever you get your podcasts.
Patrons, stick around for the extended show, Good Day Internet. I know some of you were put off by Apple crushing a bunch of stuff in the announcement yesterday. They've put that out as an ad as well to keep the message out there about how thin the new iPad Pros are. Are you upset? We'll talk about it.
Just a reminder, we do this show live, and you can catch it live Monday through Friday at 4 p.m. Eastern, 2000 UTC. Find out more at dailytechnewsshow.com/live. We'll be back tomorrow talking about generative voice AI and security with none other than Shannon Morse. She knows what she's talking about, and we'll talk to you then.
The DTNS family of podcasts, helping each other understand.
Diamond Club hopes you have enjoyed this program.
Hi, this is Janice Torres from Yo Quiero Dinero. From a local business to a global corporation, partnering with Bank of America gives your operation access to exclusive digital tools, award-winning insights, and business solutions so powerful, you'll make every move matter. Visit bankofamerica.com/bankingforbusiness to learn more. What would you like the power to do? Bank of America NA, copyright 2024.
My business used to be weighed down by the complexities of in-person payments. Then, Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe came along and changed everything. With Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe, I streamlined my payment process effortlessly. Now I can accept in-person, contactless payments right from my iPhone. No extra hardware required. What's truly remarkable is how I can cater to all of my customers' payment preferences. Whether they're using cards, Apple Pay, or other digital wallets, Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe ensure a smooth checkout experience every time. And it's not just me. Stripe helps businesses of all sizes, from local markets to global retailers, scale quickly and stay agile. To learn how Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe can help grow your revenue and reach, visit stripe.com/tapiphone.